All right, all right. Welcome back to another episode of Keelan's Corner. Mikey is not with us again today, but I hope you all had a happy and safe Thanksgiving. I hope everyone ate a lot of food and they were stuffed and they enjoyed one of the greatest screw-ups, as one would say, in the first game of the Thanksgiving football games, where Caleb Williams got sacked with 34 seconds left and then didn't snap the ball until about 7 seconds left and then threw the ball into the end zone when they were only down three, and they had a timeout. So that was one of the biggest mess-ups I have literally ever seen in my life, which led to Matt Eberflus getting fired. And, you know, as he deserves to get fired, he defended, you know, what he did, you know, instead of just owning up to the mess-up. And quite frankly, Caleb Williams has to know that too, man. Like, you got to get up to the line. Like, you got to go. Like, I don't know. That was just completely insane. The Lions play the Packers tonight. I think the Lions get upset tonight at home. I think the Packers come away with a W. Yeah, I mean, the other Thanksgiving games, they were kind of snooze fest. Pretty much blowouts for the most part. But, you know, the story of the week, the elephant in the room, is Juan Soto. And we finally have reached the point in the Juan Soto free agency life cycle where he could sign at any second. I know he says that he's going to fly this weekend to all of his emerging as top suitors, you know, and meet with them again for one last time. But anytime between now, Thursday, December 5th, and next week, anywhere around December 13th, Soto can sign at any moment, any second. It could be breaking news. Some franchise can completely be changed forever. Whether it's the Yankees, the Mets, you know, we're hearing that the Dodgers are out of the running a little bit and they're working on re-signing Teoscar Hernandez. That would be, you know, that'd be a a better move, you know, for all of baseball if they didn't get Juan Soto and they kept Teoscar Hernandez. Because if you put Soto on that team and you have Soto and Freeman and it's just, it would be Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani. They would never lose. They would never lose. They just signed Blake Snell. Okay, their pitching staff is gonna be incredible. You know, when they're fully healthy. You know, I'm sure they're gonna sign a couple relievers. You know, to shore up the back end of the bullpen there. But I'm happy that the Dodgers aren't getting Soto. I'm afraid Soto's gonna wind up with Boston. We're hearing trickles. We're hearing some rumors. You know, coming out that Boston is uncharacteristically, you know, engaging in Juan Soto talks where they're willing to spend more than, you know, they have in the past 4 or 5 years, ever since they traded away Mookie Betts and everyone thought they were going in a different direction and they didn't want to spend all that money. But, you know, I guess for some reason with Soto, it's different. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's because he's 26. I really don't know why Soto makes a difference, but Soto endeavors in that lineup is going to be absolutely crazy if it happens. Again, I've been saying that I think he's going to wind up with the Mets, but for some reason, I have a gut feeling that he stays in the Bronx. I don't know why. I just think that he knows that if he could bring a World Series to, you know, the New York Yankees and be the reason why they win, he'll be idolized forever. You know, he'll be in Monument Park. There'll be a statue for him. You know, he has a long career ahead of him. He's only 26. He's technically not even in his prime yet. So he's only getting better. That's the main story of, you know, of the show and right now of the first week of, you know, December, first 2 weeks of December. You know, in the NFL, you know, we talked about the Thanksgiving games, but we watched a new suitor emerged as a team that could win the Super Bowl this past weekend. And that is my home. That is my favorite team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have showed that they are a top three team in the AFC. They have a legitimate offense. They have a top defense, okay, wherever you want to rank them, you can rank them, okay? Yes, they may get carved up sometimes, but they turn the ball over and they know how to keep you out of the end zone. So, you know, they turn you over, and that's huge, especially when, you know, you play a team like Houston or you play a team like Baltimore, who Lamar Jackson can't beat. If you can turn them over and you could score some points, you know, that's the key to winning. The top three teams in the AFC are, I mean, the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Steelers. I don't really see anybody, you know, challenging those three teams right now, and I would probably rank them Bills, Chiefs, Steelers. But we'll find out if the Steelers are better than the Chiefs on Christmas Day, because if they weren't the Chiefs and it wasn't Patrick Mahomes and it was just a regular team, I would say that the Steelers are better than the Chiefs, but I just can't do it because Patrick Mahomes is on the team. You know, if we look at the NFC, there's two real clear front runners in the NFC, Detroit and Philly. I think if Philly gets home field advantage, Philly's going to beat Detroit. Okay, Detroit has not looked good, you know, in recent weeks. You know, the injuries are piling up. And they have a tough game tonight at home against Green Bay. And then they play against Buffalo next week. So they very well might not get home field advantage. The Steelers can help them out a little bit because they do play Philly. So if the Steelers beat Philly, but again, that game is in Philly. That's a really tough game. I don't expect the Steelers to win that game, but I expect it to be competitive. You know, I don't think they're going to get blown out. The Steelers are very close to having the division locked up. They're 9-3. They have a 2-game lead over Baltimore, including right now the tiebreaker. I don't see, you know, much changing in terms of the AFC playoff picture. I don't know if Miami, you know, has enough time to back into the playoffs. I don't know if the Colts are gonna win enough games to get into the playoffs. So I think the AFC playoff picture is pretty much set. It's just a matter about seeding and where they're gonna be. The three wild card teams have 8 wins. The Chargers, the Ravens, and the Broncos, and then the two teams on the outside looking in are the Colts and the Dolphins. So, I mean, the Colts have 6 wins and the Dolphins have 5 wins. You know, the Colts play the Broncos this week. I'm sorry, not this week, next week coming out of their bye. So it'll be very interesting to see. You know, if they win that game, okay, if the Indianapolis Colts walk into Denver and beat Bo Nix and Sean Payton and Denver, they absolutely can get into the playoffs as the last seed because they play the Titans, they play the Giants, and they play the Jaguars after that. Those are 3 of the bottom teams in the NFL, and 2 of them are at home. So they can absolutely, if they run the board and get to 10 wins, okay, because Denver doesn't have that easy of a schedule, okay, the Colts' path to the playoffs is to beat Denver and then have Denver lose 1 game to either the Chargers, the Bengals, or the Chiefs. And if you ask me, Denver might not win any of those games. I mean, they're going to L.A. They're going to Cincinnati, who we know Cincinnati can score. Their defense can't stop a nose drip, but they can score. And then they play Kansas City. Those are 3 really tough teams. You know what? I'm predicting it right now. Looking at it right now. Even though I like Bo Nix, Sean Payton's a little shaky right now. Some of the play calling I saw in the Monday night game against Cleveland, they were very, very lucky to come away with a win there. The Indianapolis Colts are going to get into the playoffs over the Denver Broncos. You heard it first here. The Colts are making the playoffs. There's no way they're losing more than a game the final stretch of the season. They're going to go 3-1 in their final 4 games. They're going to back in, and they're going to wind up playing either the Bills, the Chiefs, or the Steelers. Now, who's going to get the top wild card spot? I don't know. Could be the Chargers. Could be the Ravens. I think it's going to wind up being the Ravens. The Chargers play the Chiefs this week. Then they play the Bucks, the Broncos, the Pats, and the Raiders. So they have 3 easy games, 2 hard ones, or 2. You know what? The last 2 games of the year, the Patriots and the Raiders, are as easy as they get. So the next 3 are pretty hard, the Chiefs, the Buccaneers, and the Broncos. I expect them to probably lose 2 of those. I expect them to beat the Broncos. So that's what the NFL's playoff picture is looking like right now as we wrap up talking about the NFL. I want to get to the NBA. The Nets and the Knicks, have the Knicks turned a corner? The Knicks have looked pretty good as of their last 3 games. But I will say, proceed with caution when talking about the New York Knicks turning the corner because they lost to a Utah Jazz team that only has 4 wins, okay? They blew out Denver, okay, in Denver, which was an impressive win, even though Denver's not, you know, at the top of their game. Then they lost to a Luka Doncic-less Dallas team. Then they lost to a LaMelo Ball-less Hornets team. They didn't lose. They won by 1, so they just escaped by, you know, against a LaMelo Ball-less Hornets team. And then they played the Pelicans and the Magic. They played the Pelicans without their 2 best players, and they played the Magic without their best player, Paolo Banchero. So are they really turning the corner, or are they just playing some bad teams? They play the Hornets again tonight. LaMelo will be out again, and then they play the Pistons and the Raptors. So they have a pretty easy schedule. They can create some separation between them and the other teams in the standings. They're supposed to be a title contender, so, you know, I expect them to do it. You know, as as for the other team in the local area, the Brooklyn Nets, they just keep on messing up their chances at getting Cooper Flagg, Bailey, or Harper. They won a game last night, 99-90. They beat the Pacers. They're 10-13. Okay. The only team that I feel like the Nets can't beat is the Orlando Magic. I feel like they can't beat the Magic because they just get smashed every time they play them. They've already played them three times this year, and they've lost all three times. So I feel like they have no chance of beating them. I wish they played them every single game between now and March, but that's not the case. The Nets' next game is this Sunday against the Bucks, so they got a couple of days off. That's going to be an interesting one. There's rumors that Giannis still might want to be a Net. I think that winds up happening this offseason. I do think Giannis will be a Net this offseason. You heard it first here. Giannis Antetokounmpo, however you know you want to say it, Giannis will be a Net by the start of next NBA season. You heard it first here. Yeah, so the Nets go to, Giannis comes to Brooklyn on Sunday. And then the Nets play the Grizzlies, the Cavs, and the Raptors. The Nets could realistically win all those games. I mean, they've been in every game that they've played this year for the most part. They're without Cam Thomas. That's a huge part of their team that's out right now. Hopefully the Nets start getting on the phone and they start making trades and they start blowing it up. So this way they can have, you know, a top three pick and get one of those players that I named earlier. But it's not looking like it's happening anytime soon. One of the biggest disappointments in the Eastern Conference this year have been the Philadelphia 76ers, as they only have 5 wins, which is pretty remarkable considering they were considered as title contenders. They just went out and signed Paul George. Paul George barely even plays. Joel Embiid never plays. You know, a nice surprise for them has been Jerry McCain. He's been, you know, pretty solid in his rookie year so far, averaging 16-2-2. You know, he's definitely a spark. And, you know, Tyrese Maxey hasn't taken that, you know, step forward that everyone thought he was going to take, only averaging 24-4-3. That team is a dumpster fire right now. That team has to blow it up. I wouldn't surprise me if they traded Joel Embiid. I don't know who would want Joel Embiid if he's not going to play and he's not going to play on back-to-backs and he's got the knee injury. I mean, it's crazy to say, but we might be witnessing the end of Joel Embiid's career. Like, we might be witnessing Joel Embiid's career coming to an end, you know, at a very early age. And you know, don't say, oh, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Take a look at it. He's on a bad team. No one's going to want him because he doesn't play. And he came out and said he's never, if it was up to him, he would never play in a back-to-back the rest of his career. So he's a big guy. So it's very hard for, you know, his knee to heal and for, you know, swelling to go down and all that type of stuff. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to pretend like I am. This is just what they say. And if he doesn't, you know, take an offseason to get his knee right, and, you know, actually rehab and take care of his body, I don't know if we'll ever see that same Joel Embiid again. And it's sad because that Joel Embiid was an MVP. That Joel Embiid was one of the best big men basketball has ever seen. So I hope he gets it together. I hope, you know, I mean, I don't like Philly. I don't like the 76ers, so I'm not rooting for them. But I don't want to see anybody ever fail. So I would like to see Joel Embiid find a team, you know, that... Because he's going to get traded, you figure, at some point. So hopefully he finds, you know, his new team and he can create some chemistry with them. You know, looking at the rest of the Eastern Conference, you know, the Detroit Pistons have 9 wins. The Pacers are another huge disappointment, falling 5 games under 500, 9-14. I don't think anybody thought that they were going to be this bad. I mean, they're really, really bad. You know, they were supposed to be a top 4 team. They made it to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, you know, after beating the Knicks, even though they were banged up. That's a huge surprise. You know, Milwaukee turned it around. Milwaukee was like 1-8, 1-9. They won 8 of their last 10 games, and they're sitting at 11-10. So it's pretty, you know, when you have Giannis, that's what happens. You know, you figure it out. You know, the magic of the surprise team. You know, the Cavaliers, they're 19-3. They're going to wind up not getting the 1 seed. They're going to wind up falling behind Boston. And they're going to sit around 2, 3, or 4. But out of that, there's really no more surprise in the Eastern Conference. Surprised that the Pacers are as low as they are. Surprised that the 76ers are as low as they are. And surprised that the Magic are as high as they are. Atlanta's sitting at number 6 in the Eastern Conference right now. I don't think anybody thinks that they were a bad team. You know, they were talking about trading Trae Young. They're not a bad team. They're an average team. They are who they are. They're a 500 team, 12-11. That's exactly what they are. They're playing to their record. Actually, I guess you could say the Nets are a surprise at 10-3. I don't think anybody thought they would. 10-13. I don't think anybody thought that the Nets would have 10 wins. So those are the surprises there. And as we move on to, you know, the Western Conference, the Houston Rockets are sitting at number two. And that might come as a surprise to some people, but they have a young nucleus. They did the rebuild the right way. They drafted players. They brought in a couple of veterans like Fred VanVleet, and they are doing it the right way. They are a very competitive team. Could they wind up being like the Thunder in a couple of years? Absolutely. It could wind up being as soon as this year. But Alperen Sengun and Jalen Green and Jabari Smith, you know, that's a good core. It's a good nucleus. You know, I expect them to be competitive for a long time. Dallas is actually 14-8. They're sitting at number they've won 9 out of their last 10. They're sitting at number 3 in the Eastern Conference. I mean, in the Western Conference. And they've been doing it, you know, piecing it together. Luka's missed time, Kyrie's missed time, Klay's missed time. But then again, they're still sitting at number 3. You know, the Lakers started off really, really hot, and everyone thought that they were going to be great. They've won 4 out of their last 10 games, so they're under 500 in their last 10. They haven't looked that good. They're coming off a 41-point blowout to Miami last night. I think LeBron isn't playing, you know, to the best of his capabilities. I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe Father Time. Father Time is undefeated. Catches up with everyone. The only person I've ever seen defeat Father Time for a very, very long time is Tom Brady. Tom Brady, you know, I believe Tom Brady could step on a football field right now and still play quarterback for an NFL team, which is nuts, but he's the only person that I think has ever defeated Father Time. I guess you could say LeBron has. I mean, he's 40 and he's still playing. And he's still playing, you know, at an above-average level, I would say. Thing is, he's LeBron, so we're judging him off of his LeBron-type level, and he's not that anymore. The Warriors have had a massive fall-off after starting off really, really hot. They've lost, what is it, 5 games in a row. Okay, they've lost 6 out of their last 8. They have fallen off a lot, and that's as expected. You know, these regular season games, they don't really mean much to these players. Curry's been there, he's done that. Draymond Green has been there and done that. So it's like, do these games really matter to them? The Cup is interesting. I like the Cup because teams play to the final second. Like we saw the Celtics draw up a play for, I think it was Peyton Pritchard to hit a 3 at the buzzer, you know, because the point differential matters. You know, I like that. I like guys. I like it when defense is played and you know, people don't stop playing until the buzzer. I would say the Clippers are a pretty surprising team right now. Even though they just lost by 28 last night, they're 14-10, and they got one star on their team, James Harden, and they just put together a very solid roster around them. Kawhi Leonard's not playing. They lost Paul George, and, you know, they got guys like Kofi and Zubac and Bones Highland, you know, and they just put it together. Norman Powell, before he got hurt, you know, was unbelievable for them, and I guess Harden is just carrying them right now. You know, his veteran, I don't want to call it leadership because I don't know if James Harden has any of that, but I guess that's what it is right now. His veteran leadership is carrying them to a pretty solid season in their new arena. So, yeah, you know, the Denver Nuggets are a little bit of a disappointment, you know, sitting at 11-8. You know, we know Jokic gives it his all every night. It's just weird that they're not that good right now. Could Michael Porter be on the move? Could Michael Porter become a Net? You know, I sure as hell think that the Denver Nuggets could use Cam Thomas, Nicholas Claxton, you know, maybe even Cam Johnson, and ship Michael Porter out of there. Now, it is said that the Brooklyn Nets do not want to take on any type of substantial money in trading away their veterans. I think Dennis Schroeder winds up back with the Lakers, if I'm being honest with you. Yeah, so that's what I think about that. Moving on back to, you know, what we started talking about at the beginning of the show, the Juan Soto and the free agency rumors that are going on right now. Soto is going to cause the New York Mets, maybe the New York Yankees, the Toronto Blue Jays. He's going to hold them, you know, and he's going to hold them so long that there's going to be no one left on the market, maybe, by the time Juan Soto signs. And then all these teams that didn't get Soto might be left, you know, holding the bag. They just might be left holding the bag. Because we just saw Luis Severino, who was on the Mets last year, sign a pretty massive contract in Oakland A's standard. The Oakland Athletics, or should I say, what is it? Where are they at? Yeah, they're still in Oakland right now. Yeah, the Oakland Athletics signed Luis Severino to a 3-year, $67 million deal. That's a pretty massive contract for an organization that doesn't really, you know, give up many, you know, they don't spend money. You know, their movie was based on Moneyball, and you know, Billy Bean, he doesn't like to spend money. They doesn't have money to spend. They're a low market team. They're a low market, you know, organization, and they do what they can with the money that they do have, as the owner might say from the movie Moneyball. He's a low market GM, and he's a low market team. So spending $67 million on a below average pitcher at this point in his career is pretty eye opening to me. I will say that I do think guys like Christian Walker and Pete Alonso won't be signing. Oh, that's right. The A's move to Sacramento. Isn't that nuts? Let's just take a second to realize what that means for Oakland A's fans. Oakland A's are a story franchise. They have real fans, okay? They have real fans, and now they're just picking up and moving to Sacramento. I feel bad for Oakland, for Oakland fans in the city of Oakland. I really do, because they deserve better. They do. They deserve better. And moving the team to Sacramento is not. It's quite frankly, it's a disgrace. But yeah, back to Christian Walker and Pete Alonso and all those guys. Those guys might not sign until Soto signs. But if they don't, if they decide, you know what, I got to get out with my time. I'm going to go to teams that aren't interested in Soto. Those teams can be left holding the bag. The Yankees have positions that have holes at first and third. You know, they have holes in the outfield. They have holes at catchers. They certainly have, you know, I heard the Yankees had a 90-minute meeting with Max Fried, and I heard it went pretty well. He's not the guy that I would take. I would go after Burns, as I'm hearing that the Yankees are also a dark horse for Corbin Burns. But I would certainly warn ball clubs that are in on Juan Soto to not wait for him to sign. And that if you are willing to sign him for that amount of money, you will be willing to sign him for that amount of money while also filling in other holes. Yankees, New York, Brian Cashman, Steinbrenner, you have to go out and get a first baseman, whether Soto signs or not. So go sign your first baseman. You need a first baseman. Go get Christian Walker to a 2-year contract. Sign him. Because if you put him in the lineup and then you re-sign Soto and you have... I don't even know who they would lead off. They might try leading off Volpe again after the World Series that he had. If you had Volpe, Soto, Judge, Walker, Stanton, that's a pretty formidable lineup right there. That's a lineup that you would go to war with, because you would also have at the back end of it Jazz Chisholm, Jason Dominguez, Caleb Durbin, who they say is going to break. He's going to break with the team after camp. Yeah, I mean that's the route I would go. There's not really much left out there, actually, you know, after that. And the Mets should be worried the most, because this is a statement signing for the Mets. You know, Cohen was brought here to sign the big guys and sign the big free agents, and he hasn't done that yet. He signed two 40-year-old pitchers way past their prime, and quite frankly, they wound up paying for them and they weren't even on the team because of how bad they were. They just wanted to get rid of him. So this is a statement signing for Steve Cohen. And if they don't get Soto, there's not going to be anybody left for them. So they're going to be in deep, deep trouble. They're going to have a lot of holes to fill on that roster, especially in the starting rotation and especially in the bullpen. And I hope Soto signs before the winter meetings. So this way we could see some real trades happen. But if he doesn't, I think you're going to see a very slow-moving winter meeting until he signs. I don't think you're going to see much action, especially not between the two New York teams. Definitely not between Boston and Boston just signed Aroldis Chapman to a 10-year deal. I mean, to a $10 million deal. So it's pretty interesting. I wonder why they would sign Chapman. Like, I wonder, it's a little interesting. Do they feel like they're ahead in the Juan Soto sweepstakes? Do they feel like they need to solidify a bullpen because they're going to have a pretty significant upgrade in their lineup and they're going to be contending this year? I don't know. You know, Chapman wasn't that great, but Chapman in the sixth or seventh inning could certainly be a valuable weapon. Chapman coming out of the bullpen to face a lefty or two could certainly be a valuable weapon coming out of the bullpen. And $10 million is nothing to sneeze at. $10 million is a lot of money. A lot of people would sign up for $10 million to pitch every 3 days and pitch one inning. I know I would, but that's besides the point. The point is, I'm getting a little nervous that Juan Soto might wind up in a Boston Red Sox uniform, and that is the absolute worst case scenario. It feels like the Red Sox want the rivalry back with the Yankees. It feels like they want to match us toe for toe now again in dollars for dollars, you know, like they did for 15 years. And quite frankly, that scares me. Certainly does. Because if they're willing to do that and they have Soto endeavors, they're going to be an attraction to a lot of free agents. So that is something that the Yankees need to be wary about. The Yankees need to just offer Soto his money and pay him. The market, like I've always said forever, is forever changing. In 5 years, Soto's contract will not be the highest paid contract in baseball. It just won't be. Contracts are forever going up. TV deals are forever going to only get bigger, especially with streaming. You know, the ticket prices are only going up. They're not coming down. These organizations are making more money than ever. Chicken tenders is like $25 at Yankee Stadium. A hot dog is $10. A bottle of water, $6. It's crazy. You know, use our money to buy us, you know, a team that's actually pretty good. Use the money that we spend for a bottle of water. $6 for a bottle of water. Think about how much money the Yankees make just off people buying water at the stadium in one game. Use some of that money, please, to go get Juan Soto and to keep the Yankees competitive for years to come, please. All right. That was a lot of rambling. That was a lot of going on and on and on. What I would like to do now is talk about the college football playoffs. As the standings have come out, the committee has, you know, made their picks before championship week. Oregon sits at number one. Texas sits at number two. Penn State sits at number three. And Notre Dame, my team, sits at number four. Now, I have a bone to pick with the rankings and the way they put them out. Notre Dame cannot get a top four seed, so they should not be in there. They should not be ranked number four if they cannot get a top four seed. You should keep them at five, okay? You should also not have Alabama. I mean, listen, I guess you can have Alabama in the playoffs, okay? They got Alabama, they got Miami, and the next two teams out are Ole Miss and South Carolina. I think South Carolina has to get in over Miami. But then again, the winner of the Pac-12 gets in. So, I mean, not the Pac-12, the winner of the Big 12 gets in. So, right now, the teams that they have in won't be the final teams that are in. Someone has to get knocked out. If SMU loses in the ACC championship game, are they out? They shouldn't be, but they will be. So, I'm getting told that I'm running out of time here. So, I do have to make my picks, and I will be making my picks right now. And if you want to make your picks, go to foxsportsnewjersey.com, sign up with your email, and make your picks. So, I'm going to start off with the Thursday night game. Packers versus Detroit. I'm going to take the Packers on the road in Detroit. I think the Packers come away with a win tonight. Browns, Steelers. Going Pittsburgh, not even wasting time on it. I think the Steelers are going to show up. They won't lose two games to the Browns. Falcons, Vikings. I'm going to say the Falcons walk into Minnesota and win. Saints, Giants. Saints easy. Jaguars, Titans. I'm going to say the Titans, beat the Jaguars, but I wouldn't be surprised if Mac Jones leads them to a win. Raiders, Buccaneers, I'm going to go with the Bucs at home. Panthers, Eagles, I'm going to say the Eagles win, but I'm going to say the Panthers keep it close. Jets, Dolphins in Miami, Dolphins are going to win that one and stay alive, mathematically. Seahawks, Cardinals, game of the week because of the playoff implications that it holds. Seattle's going to Arizona. I'm going to say Arizona wins this game at home. It should be a very, very close and fun game. And then you got the Bills and the Rams. Buffalo going to L.A. L.A. pulls this one out. L.A. is beating Buffalo. You heard it first. The Rams are beating Buffalo as only 3.5-point dogs. And you got the Bears and the 49ers. The 49ers are going to win at home against the Bears, I think, pretty handedly. The Chargers versus the Chiefs. The Chargers will beat Kansas City. And you will see the two top teams in the AFC fall this Sunday. And then Monday night, it's pretty much, I think this is going to be a blowout. Bengals-Cowboys. I think the Bengals are going to blow them out. I think the Bengals can score a lot of points, and I don't think Dallas can score a lot of points. All right, so there it is. There are my picks. There are the picks of the week. And, you know, thanks for another great episode. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next week. Maybe we'll have Mikey again with us. If not, I'll be coming back to you with whatever Juan Soto news we have. All right, everybody. Keelan's Corner, out.